achieving their food self-sufficiency target can be seen from the increase in the area of rice field harvest in early 2025, which has an impact on increasing rice production in January to April 2025 period. In addition, according to him, the Indonesian government is also encouraging accelerated planting through rice fields printing steps.
Seeing the progress of this achievement, we all pray and believe that food self-sufficiency, especially rice, will be achieved in not too distant future.
In January until April 2025 period, Indonesia experienced the highest harvest area in the last 7 years, reaching 4.56 million tons per hectare, or an increase of 7.69% compared to the same period in 2024. The increase in the area of crops has an impact of increasing rice production by 13.95 million tons, or an increase of 26% compared to the same period in 2024, which is 11.7 million tons. Previously, Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan said Indonesia is targeting food self-sufficiency in 2027. And to achieve this, the government has prepared a number of steps, starting from the preparation of presidential regulations for commodity balances, distribution of subsidized fertilizers to proposal for food business under the Ministry of Agriculture. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Iran has once again opened up opportunities for cooperation with Indonesia, particularly in the fields of technology and economy. In a joint study event in Jakarta, Iran's ambassador to Indonesia, Muhammad Borojerdi, revealed Iran's technological advantage and invited Indonesian business to attend international exhibitions in the country. The detail by Ranolf.
Iran is opening opportunities for cooperation with Indonesia in the technology and economic sectors. The Iranian ambassador to Indonesia, Muhammad Borojerdi, stated during the iftar gathering in Jakarta on Monday that Iran has advantages in various technological fields such as biotechnology, nuclear, and agriculture.
Of course, we have received several requests from Indonesian companies to collaborate in latest technology sector with Iran, and we are currently connecting them with relevant companies in Iran.
In the economic sectors, Iran is also committed to strengthening its relationship with Indonesia by inviting Indonesia business players to an international exhibition which will be held in April and early May in Iran.
The chairman of Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency of the House of Representatives of Republic of Indonesia, Mardani Alisera, welcomed the offer of the Kazakhstan's ambassador to Indonesia, Serzan Abdi Katimov, regarding the provision of part of Kazakhstan's Hajj quota to Indonesia. The offer was conveyed during a courtesy call meeting aimed at strengthening bilateral relations between the two countries. Quoting tvparlemen.dpr.co.id, observing Jakarta on Monday, Mardani says the offer is a good opportunity, but requires an in-depth study. He affirmed that the issue of Hajj quota in Indonesia is the domain of Commission 8 of the House of Representatives, the Hajj Affairs Agency, and the Hajj Financial Management Agency.
Tentu sangat menarik ya kalau kita bisa melakukan kerjasama, tetapi karena domainnya nanti ada teman-teman Komisi 8.
It is very interesting if we can cooperate.
Badan Urusan
Haji, but because the domain will be in Commission 8, in the Hajj Affairs Agency, that our Hajj Financial Management Agency, of course it is not so easy for us to take, because we also need to estimate the ability, and with some we take the burden of large set obligations. In my opinion, first, explore, don't refuse, explore first. It also requires consideration and discussion with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because they are the one who has the authority.
Pertimbangan dan pembicaraan dengan teman-teman dari pihak Kerajaan Arab Saudi, karena bagaimanapun yang ngatur mereka.
Madani Ali said also affirmed the importance of considering the burden of state obligations before accepting the offer, as well as the need for talks with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as the party that regulates the Hajj quota. He appreciated the hard work of the government in managing Indonesia's Hajj quota, which currently reaches 200,000 pilgrims. He saw the additional quota as a positive thing, but requires careful consideration. Indonesia's Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Mutia Hafid, dispatched standby teams to monitor telecommunication services during this year's Eid homecoming. The detail by Rama Shipki.
Indonesia's Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Mutia Hafid, dispatched standby teams from the ministry and four Indonesian telecommunications operators in Jakarta on Thursday, March 25th, to monitor and maintain the quality of telecommunication services during this year's Eid homecoming. In her remarks, Mutia reminded the team officers that the public needs a reliable communication network during their journeys to their hometown, making their task crucial.
Kami bersama dua wamen dan seluruh jajaran Kemkomdigi ingin menyampaikan bahwa
together with the two deputy ministers and all staff service of the ministry, we want to emphasize that this task is a critical service. This means the people going home for Eid will certainly need reliable telecommunications. This is a basic service and we are the front line in ensuring the continuity of the communication system from Aceh to Papua.
Dari Aceh hingga Papua.
Minister Mutia added that the standby team is part of President Prabowo Subianto's directive to ensure that all public facilities during the Eid holidays run safer, smoother, and easier. A total of 386 standby posts are planned to operate during the Eid homecoming and return season, including 35 posts from the Ministry of Communication and Digital Affairs. Additionally, the ministry also dispatched 29 technical support vehicles to monitor telecommunications network quality. Ramasiti Pratama reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
And listener, that's the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, coming up next is commentary entitled Football Match Between Indonesia and Bahrain, read by Anna Trijayakasih.
Today's commentary is on football match between Indonesia and Bahrain. The match between the Indonesian football team and the Bahrain team in the World Qualifiers was highly anticipated to determine Indonesia's position in advancing to the next round. The match scheduled to be held at Gelora Bung Karno Senayan Tuesday afternoon would determine Indonesia's ticket to the World Cup even though it will only through the playoff round. As Kusnaini, an Indonesian football observer who is also a member of the RRI Supervisory Board, told Voice of Indonesia Tuesday in Jakarta, Indonesia must win points in the match against Bahrain to maintain its position in third place in the group. If they can't win, they must at least draw, so that when they play against the Chinese and Saudi Arabian national teams, they can take points again. Meanwhile, Alexandria, president of the Australia-Indonesia Football Council, told Voice of Indonesia that he was optimistic that Indonesia would win the match even with a narrow score, thanks to the supporters. The support of Indonesian supporters, who are known to be very militant, shouting slogans and singing throughout the match, is considered to bring a positive aura for Indonesian players to be more vigorous and strong in fighting. In this World Cup qualification, Indonesia is in Group C with Japan, Saudi Arabia, Australia, China, and Bahrain. According to FIFA regulations, the group winner is entitled to advance to the 2026 World Cup, which will take place in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Group C is considered a hard one because Japan, Saudi Arabia, and Australia are regulars at the World Cup. Currently, Japan has ensured a ticket to the World Cup, while the second and third positions will undergo a playoff to get the next ticket to the World Cup. In fact, the match between the Indonesian and the Bahrain national teams aims to raise Indonesia's ranking in the World Cup qualification and also in FIFA. In addition, this afternoon's match is also to show the best ability of the Indonesian team in facing strong opponents in Group C. Whatever the result, the hard work made by the All Indonesian Football Association from assigning foreign coaches to their naturalization program deserves to be appreciated. It is hoped that the efforts can raise the spirit of Indonesian players to be more successful and passionate in bringing the good name of Indonesian football team, as happened in the 60s and 70s when it was quite respected in Asia. Well, it was commentary.
You might be familiar with this sound when your kids are online. But you might miss some other sounds. Your child might stumble upon harmful content, bullies, and predators when they are online. Pay attention to the sounds. It's not too late.
Mom, what's this?
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to it. It was Service Voice of Indonesia. So a little bit update, listener, that right this afternoon, around 4 p.m. Jakarta time, on Tuesday, March 25th, President Prabowo Subianto received the visit of the President of the New Development Bank, or NDB, Dilma Vana Rousseff. Reported by RRI.co.id, and here they would like to have a meeting. And earlier, the President of the NDB, Andy Anturich, had met with the Coordinating Minister for Economy, Airlangga Hartarto. And at that meeting, according to Minister Airlangga, they conveyed some programs of President Prabowo Subianto to NDB. On the other hand, Dilma, as the representation of NDB, invited Indonesia to join in the membership of NDB, along with other BRICS member countries. And for people who doesn't know yet, NDB is a multilateral development bank founded by the BRICS member countries, aiming to fund infrastructure projects and sustainable development in developing countries. And according to Dilma, the NDB itself is different from other multilateral financial institutions. She claimed that NDB respects the sovereignty of each nations so that there wouldn't be any veto power. And we are still waiting for the update or even what was the result of the meeting between President Prabowo Subianto and the President of the New Development Bank, Dilma Vana Rousseff.
Voice of Indonesia.
I am the bass, low is the face, come from the ground, fill up the space, yeah I am the bass, embrace the pace, no need a crown, cause I am the bass. You and I are so alike. We move and we groove, we are silent proof. You and I will feel alive. Yes, right to the bone when we hit the tone. Like this. Yeah, I am the bass, low in the face, goes from the down, drives like a name. Yeah, I am the bass,
I am the bass.
God give me, God give me, can you feel the sound? I am the bass. Hey! You and I are so alike. We move and groove. We are silent proof. You and I will feel alive. Yes, right to the bone when we hit the home. Yeah, I am the bass, low is the face, come from the ground, fill up the space. Yeah, I am the bass, God give me grace, can you feel the sound?
Yeah, we're gonna fill up the
space.
We are the space.
Yeah,
keep us
great.
Yeah,
keep us
great.
And here is the story about Mangrove, the savior of life.
Saat ada bencana tsunami yang menimpa Indonesia, air sampai setinggi pohon bako yang ada di kawasan mangrove ini, tetapi tidak sampai ke tembus ke daratan. Di sanalah fungsi luar biasa daripada hutan mangrove itu sebagai benteng dan juga penjaga garis pantai daripada pulau yang kita miliki.
Mangrove, or commonly known as mangrove forest, is a forest that grows above a swamp, which is located on the coastline. Mangrove forests have an important role and are very beneficial for the people around the coast and land. Mangrove forests can even become a safety belt for the mainland from the brunt of the tsunami, as stated by Wayan Konantara, head of the Segarakuna Glogor Charik Joint Business Group, Murah Rai, Bali.
Kalau fungsi daripada mangrove ini, setahu saya,
as far as I know, the function of this mangrove,
saat ada bencana tsunami yang menimpa Indonesia,
when there was a tsunami that hit Indonesia, especially in Aceh, of course, the impact also reached here.
Kebetulan saat itu kami melaut di kawasan
Tahura Murah Rai ini. In the Tahura area, Murah Rai. At that time, it was receding, but suddenly there was a high tide. The water was also heavy. That's real evidence that I saw. At that time, the water was as high as the mangrove trees in this mangrove area, but it did not penetrate the mainland. It was about 4 meters high.
Itu kami juga kaget saat itu.
We were also surprised at that time.
Syukur puji Tuhan, kami sampaikan.
We confess to God
bencana itu
that the disaster did not endanger the people on the mainland,
masyarakat yang di daratan,
especially in
Bali,
at that time.
Kami melihatnya,
that's where the function of the mangrove forest is.
Daripada hutan mangrove itu
as
sebagai
a food and guard,
dan
the coastline
penjaga
the island
pantai
that we
daripada pulau yang kita miliki.
Evidence of the benefits of mangroves as the fortress to protect land from tsunamis is also conveyed by Ayu, a researcher at the National Research and Innovation Agency, BRIN. Exactly. When tsunami in Palu, for example, we got very clear information that there was no flooding in Donggala district, there were absolutely no casualties, and the damage was minimal, because the impact of the tsunami was small due to the mangrove safety belt there. So that's one clear proof of how this mangrove has the ability to reduce risk, reduce losses, and also reduce casualties. The existence of mangrove forests is not only as coastal protection belt from waves and seepage, but also has economic benefits. Mangrove forest is a habitat for various types of mangrove trees and a suitable place to live for several types of fauna and flora.
Manfaat ekonomi daripada
we have clearly felt the economic benefits of mangrove forests,
di mana
where fishery resources can also be sustainable,
yang
which has an impact on the production value of the cages of fishermen in Tahura, Murah Rai area. Then secondly, it turns out that the mangrove food that we have here can be used for processed food,
makanan,
means,
and
also several types of medicines.
Selain itu,
besides that, with a clean and sustainable mangrove forest, the potential can also be developed into an ecotourism in the future. More or less, it is an economic value which, of course, together we can manage well without reducing the sustainability of the mangrove forest itself.
kelestarian daripada hutan bakau itu sendiri.
Disaster risk reduction by utilizing ecosystems is not new, but has long been abandoned. This nature-based disaster risk reduction has been revived because it provides multiple benefits, as stated by Sarifa, a researcher from BRIN.
Pengurangan risiko bencana menggunakan
disaster risk reduction by using ecosystems or in international platforms called nature-based solutions is not a new approach for Indonesia. It has been abandoned in the last two decades. NBS in GDPRR 2022 is strongly emphasized and even has about spatial forms. Why is it important? Because there are three benefits, not only for humans, but also for biodiversity and also for the disaster risk reduction itself. If we look at it from an economic point of view, by maintaining the ecosystem for disaster risk reduction, we can save $9 from each expenditure for the development of gray infrastructure, such as a track dam. It is very profitable for the surrounding community with their mangroves. The economic benefits are not only from resources, but also by making ecotourism, as we see in this Tahura. So the multi-benefits should be emphasized in disaster risk reduction. Disaster risk reduction should benefit all parties, not only reducing the number of people who are victims of disasters, but also economically. And this mangrove, as we see behind us, is an affirmation in Indonesia to continue. The existence of mangrove forests around Tahura area, Ngurah Rai, allows fishermen to catch fish every day, unlike fishermen who catch fish on the high seas.
Kita mempunyai hasil penangkapan ikan yang keseharian itu
as fishermen who have worked locations at the high sea, it is seasonal. Usually in one year it is for months at most. It has seasonability.
Sedangkan kita yang mempunyai ikan bako, itu tidak ada khususnya dan tidak ada musimnya.
We can catch fish every day.
Keseharian kita bisa menangkap kepiting bako,
udang,
dan aneka ikan lainnya.
And other various species that is and without operating cars we can fish and pull the catch of the fishermen here. So, are there any rules applied to maintain the balance of nature?
Kalau batasan jumlah ikan yang kita tangkap itu tidak ada batasan.
There is no limit to the number of fish we catch.
Kalau kepiting itu ada ukurannya.
The crab has a size.
Yang bisa ditangkap.
The size that can be caught is 250 grams.
Yang satu ekor 250 gram. Ini yang paling rendah.
Which is the lowest. Then the other types. We have a fast that fits our agreement
jaring yang kita
to each nets
tentu
that we use to catch other fish.
Kita ada ukurannya
in the
world
class that lay eggs and we also want to catch,
mata jaring yang kita
we cannot take them
yang lain.
And catch them.
Kalau kepiting, kalau
they must be released so that population deployment
dan juga,
can be sustainable.
Akan mau menetas, itu tidak boleh kita
mangrove conservation is needed to maintain the sustainability of marine ecosystems. In addition, the existence of mangrove forests can prevent disasters from occurring when there is a tidal wave of seawater. According to Sariva, preserving the nature of the mangrove forest means preserving life.
Bukan hanya bicara tentang tsunami,
we are not just talking about the tsunami. We are also talking about abrasion on the coast. We have seen the reduction in coastline due to abrasion on the northern coast of Java. The loss of mangrove
seed,
loss of
livelihoods,
the loss of living land because the land has to retreat because the seawater is eroded by
there. So strengthening with ecosystem services
such as mangroves or disaster risk reduction can help. For example, in the
Jakarta, masyarakat di pulau-pulau kecil tetap memiliki lahan hidup yang baik dan juga memiliki keuntungan atas
kegiatan
wisata
sebelumnya. Abrasi bisa ditanggulangi,
tapi ekonomi tetap berjalan.
Thus, who is responsible for disaster conservation reduction?
Ini menarik sekali ya, kalau kita bicara tentang tanggung jawab, sebenarnya idealnya ada tanggung jawab bersama. Dan tanggung jawab bersama itu mulai dari tingkat lokal,
ideally, it is a shared responsibility
global,
and shared responsibility
be starts from the local level to the national and even global level. And that force of fast is synergism or in line. So they are not mutually exclusive or not interfering with each other. Ideally, what is the desire or potential that exists in the community is also in line with the provincial level policies. At the national level, it must be in line. Don't let the community feel that these are strong benefits for them, but then suddenly there are policies that do not help strengthen their awareness. On the contrary, for example, the government has a policy to conserve, but the community also has reasons, for example, to use the area for the economy. So it must be in line.
Harus in line.
As an implementarist as well as the chairman of the joint business group Segara Guna Glogor Carik Ngurah Rai, Bali, what is the hope of Wayan Kona Antara? For the community, both upstream and downstream, let's work together on how to function waste and how we do not throw garbage currently, which will eventually end up in this mangrove forest. So that's what we hope. Let's take care of garbage together, each of us, so that the environment can be well maintained.
Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Thank you.
You're listening to Afga with Pana Asmara, and after this, we'll invite you to learn more about Indonesian language with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. You'll be trying to learn about describing something that is made of or made from something. So stay tuned on Area World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia. Hello listener, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Tanjung Puting. Di Tanjung Puting, which means in Tanjung Puting. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled Dari Akar Jangang. Dari Akar Jangang, which means it is made from the Jangang roots. This conversation took place between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a souvenir seller in Tanjung Puting, Central Kalimantan. Chris asked the souvenir seller about the basic materials of bracelets.
Saya suka gelang ini. Bahannya dari apa?
Ini gelang simpai. Bahannya dari akar jangang. Jangang itu sejenis tanaman pakis.
Saya beli 5 ya.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. Dari akar jangang. Dari akar jangang, which means it is made from the jangang roots. I will pronounce it slowly and you can repeat after me. Bahannya dari akar jangang. Bahannya dari akar jangang, which means its material is made from jangang roots. Bahannya. Bahannya, which means its material. Dari. Dari, which means from. Akar jangang. Akar jangang, which means jangang roots. Indonesian name of different of various lineages. Suka. Suka, which means to like. Gelang simpai. Gelang simpai, which means her bracelet. Tanaman. Tanaman, which means plant. Pakis. Pakis, which means fern plant. Beli. Beli, which means to buy. Lima. Lima, which means five. In the conversation, you hear the sentence bahannya dari akar jangang. Bahannya dari akar jangang, which means its material is made from the jangang roots or simply it is made from jangang roots. In this sentence, there is a word dari. Dari, which means from. The word dari is used to tell about the basic materials or ingredients of something. In the context of the conversation, the seller told Chris that the material for hoop bracelets comes from the jangang roots. Now let's listen to other examples of the used prepositions word dari. Dari, which means from, to tell about the basic materials or ingredients of something in another sentence. Perhiasan ini dari emas. Perhiasan ini dari emas, which means this jewelry is made of gold. Lemari ini dari kayu mahoni. Lemari ini dari kayu mahoni, which means this cupboard is made of a mahogany. Gelang simpai is a woven bracelet. The word simpai means rings or bracelet made of rattan or metal, which is tightened. Gelang simpai. Gelang simpai, which refers to Dayak traditional hoop bracelet, is currently being sold as a typical souvenir from Tanjung Puting in Central Kalimantan. Before closing, let's speak about Indonesia today. For more clarity, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Saya suka gelang ini. Bahannya dari apa?
Ini gelang simpai. Bahannya dari akar jangang. Jangang itu sejenis tanaman pakis.
Saya beli 5 ya.
Listener, the that was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, where the competition is titled Dari Akar Jangang. Dari Akar Jangang, which means from Jangang roots. Hopefully today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Luka Kuswawati. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Rindu Malam or Longing for a Night by Tania Dewi, accompanied by Orkes Keroncong Side of X. The song created by Sukamto was one song by singers Mus Mulyadi, Tuti Mariyati, and Rama Aibhama. The song describes the deep longing that a person experiences at night. When asleep, the longed-for figure is present in the dream, whispering sweet words that make the heart flutter and wake up from a deep sleep. Well, listener, here is Tania Dewi featuring Orkes Keroncong Side of X with Rindu Malam. Enjoy!
People joining the English program by the Voice of Indonesia. We will be still available on Vionistan ID, the frequency 3325 kHz, 4755 kHz, and application RRE Digital. For more information about Indonesia is available on our website Vionistan.id and the official website of Radio Republic of Indonesia, rri.co.id. Anything to say to us, send it to our WhatsApp number, +62 821 2381 2130. And then our email, voalistners@gmail.com. And also make sure to follow our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, TikTok, voi_official. And you can listen to a lot of important talks in Indonesia, about Indonesia, on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Well, I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to do something good for other people. And stay tuned on Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan, serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. From Indonesia to the world.
Dari Jakarta, inilah Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia. Halo, selamat bergabung kembali pendengar di seluruh dunia. Apa kabarnya saat ini? Semoga dalam keadaan yang terbaik ya. Senang sekali rasanya bisa menemani Anda di hari ini. Saya Agus Santika akan menemani Anda selama 1 jam ke depan dengan lagu-lagu Indonesia pilihan, cerita seru dan unik seputar budaya Nusantara, dan informasi yang akan membuat hari Anda semakin lebih berwarna. Mengawali siaran hari ini, kita simak terlebih dahulu warta berita dari Tanah Air bersama rekan saya, Sumarno.
Kami sampaikan berita dari Voice of Indonesia. Presiden Republik Indonesia Prabowo Subianto resmi melantik 31 duta besar luar biasa dan berkuasa penuh Republik Indonesia di Istana Negara Jakarta Senin 24 Maret 2025. Dalam jumpa pers usai pelantikan, Duta Besar Indonesia untuk Republik Korea, Cecep Herawan, mewakili para duta besar yang dilantik lainnya mengungkapkan, menjadi duta besar merupakan perpanjangan tangan bagi bangsa dan negara di negara sahabat. Oleh karena itu, Cecep berjanji akan menjaga amanah yang diberikan dan berusaha memberikan yang terbaik, khususnya melaksanakan program-program prioritas Presiden.
Kami akan menjaga amanah yang diberikan kepada kami semua, dan kami akan mencoba yang terbaik kami berikan kepada bangsa dan negara, khususnya dalam rangka melaksanakan program-program prioritas Presiden Prabowo Subianto.
Cecep Herawan menjelaskan, 31 duta besar yang baru dilantik telah menjalani proses orientasi yang dilakukan oleh Kementerian Luar Negeri agar mereka semua memiliki visi yang sama dalam menjalankan visi pemerintahan Prabowo, yakni Asta Cita. Dengan arahan dan dukungan dari pemerintah pusat, menurut Cecep, para duta besar akan terus berjuang memberikan kontribusi positif bagi pembangunan bangsa dan negara. Ke-31 duta besar luar biasa dan berkuasa penuh yang dilantik Presiden Prabowo diantaranya Manahan MP Sitompul sebagai Duta Besar untuk Bosnia dan Herzegovina, Penny Dewi Rastati sebagai Duta Besar untuk Hungaria, dan Musin Siap sebagai Duta Besar untuk Kanada merangkap International Civil Aviation Organization atau ICAO. Berita selanjutnya, Menteri Investasi dan Hilirisasi sekaligus Kepala Badan Koordinasi Penanaman Modal BKPM, Rosyan Perkasa Ruslani menegaskan, komitmen transparansi dan tata kelola yang baik dalam pengelolaan investasi negara melalui Danantara Indonesia. Hal ini disampaikan saat pengumuman resmi struktur organisasi Danantara di Jakarta Senin 24 Maret 2025. Dalam sambutannya, ia menekankan pemilihan tim manajemen dilakukan melalui seleksi ketat dengan bantuan headhunter atau seseorang atau perusahaan yang bertugas mencari dan merekrut kandidat potensi untuk posisi-posisi penting di perusahaan dalam dan luar negeri guna memastikan profesionalisme dan integritas setiap anggota.
Untuk mendapatkan orang-orang yang baik, orang-orang yang terpilih, orang-orang yang memang sesuai dengan kompetensinya dan mempunyai track record yang jelas, yang bersih, itu ternyata harus kami akui tidak mudah. Sehingga karena tim yang kami alhamdulillah berhasil untuk meyakinkan mereka untuk bergabung bersama kami adalah tim-tim yang menurut kami, yang tentunya nanti dari teman-teman media atau publik bisa melihat, adalah tim yang telah melalui seleksi yang ketat. Alhamdulillah kami dibantu oleh headhunter dalam maupun luar negeri, dalam pemilihan nama-nama ini.
Lebih lanjut, Rosan menegaskan Danantara Indonesia merupakan investasi strategis negara yang memerlukan tata kelola transparan dan akuntabel. Ia juga menyebutkan struktur Dewan Pengawas terdiri dari tokoh-tokoh penting, termasuk Menteri Badan Usaha milik negara Erick Thohir dan ekonom senior Mulyaman Hadad. Pemerintah berharap langkah ini dapat memperkuat kepercayaan publik serta menarik lebih banyak investasi yang berkontribusi bagi pertumbuhan ekonomi Indonesia. Berita terakhir, Ketua Badan Kerjasama Antar Parlemen BKSAP Dewan Perwakilan Rakyat Republik Indonesia Mardani Ali Sera menyambut baik tawaran Duta Besar Kazakhstan untuk Indonesia Sersan Abdikatimov terkait pemberian sebagian kuota haji Kazakhstan kepada Indonesia. Tawaran ini disampaikan dalam pertemuan Orstik Hall yang bertujuan mempererat hubungan bilateral kedua negara. Mengutip TV Parlemen dpr.go.id yang dipantau di Jakarta Senin 24 Maret, Mardani menilai tawaran ini sebagai peluang baik, namun memerlukan kajian mendalam. Ia menekankan masalah kuota haji Indonesia merupakan domain Komisi 8 DPR RI, Badan Urusan Haji dan Badan Pengelola Keuangan Haji.
Tentu sangat menarik ya kalau kita bisa melakukan kerjasama, tetapi karena domainnya nanti ada teman-teman Komisi 8, kemudian Badan Urusan Haji, kemudian Badan Keuangan Pengelola Haji, BPKH kita, tentu tidak semudah itu kita ambil, karena quote and unquote kita juga perlu memperkirakan kemampuan. Setiap kita ambil, beban kewajiban negara besar. Nah, menurut saya, jajaki dulu. Jangan tolak, jajaki dulu. Itu juga perlu pertimbangan dan pembicaraan dengan teman-teman dari pihak Kerajaan Arab Saudi, karena bagaimanapun yang ngatur mereka.
Mardani Ali Sera juga menekankan pentingnya mempertimbangkan badan kewajiban negara sebelum menerima tawaran tersebut, serta perlu adanya pembicaraan dengan pihak Kerajaan Arab Saudi sebagai pihak yang mengatur kuota haji. Mardani mengapresiasi kerjasama kerja keras pemerintah dalam mengelola kuota haji Indonesia yang saat ini mencapai 200 ribu jamaah. Ia melihat tambahan kuota sebagai hal positif, namun tetap memerlukan pertimbangan matang. Pendengar, demikian berita dari Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Selanjutnya kita dengarkan komentar Voice of Indonesia yang disampaikan oleh Muhammad Suhartono.
Voice of Indonesia.
Saudara pendengar, inilah komentar hari ini dengan judul Pertandingan Sepak Bola Antara Indonesia dan Bahrain, dibacakan oleh Muhammad Suhartono. Pertandingan antara tim sepak bola Indonesia dan tim Bahrain dalam kualifikasi Piala Dunia sangat dinantikan dan sangat menentukan posisi Indonesia untuk lolos babak selanjutnya. Pertandingan yang digelar di Stadion Gelora Bung Karno Senayan Selasa sore sangat menentukan bagi Indonesia untuk meraih tiket ke Piala Dunia walau nantinya hanya melalui babak playoff. Seperti apa dikatakan Kusnaini, pengamat sepak bola Indonesia yang juga anggota Dewan Pengawas RRI kepada Voice of Indonesia Selasa di Jakarta, Indonesia harus meraih poin dalam pertandingan melawan Bahrain untuk menjaga posisi di peringkat 3 grup. Jika tidak bisa menang, minimal harus bermain seri atau draw, sehingga saat melawan timnas Tiongkok dan Arab Saudi bisa mengambil poin lagi.